This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's not an official recession, but it's a recession.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. It's good to have you with us this Friday morning as we continue our special coverage of the fallout from the financial crisis. We told you this morning's unemployment report would be bad, and it's even worse. 240,000 people lost their jobs last month. Unemployment is at a 14-year high, and no one thinks it's about to improve. Marketplace's Steve Henn is in Washington. Steve, President-elect Obama holds his first post-election news conference today. These numbers are quite a mood setter.
Well, yeah, the numbers and the situation that he's walking into really couldn't be worse. I mean, everyone was expecting a bad unemployment report with, about 200,000 jobs lost. The fact that it was, you know, fully 20% worse than expected and that the unemployment rate jumped to 6.5%, economically, he has his work cut out for him.
What options does he actually have to do anything before he's even president in January?
He really doesn't have any formal power, but he can help influence and shape the stimulus package that Speaker Nancy Pelosi is working on in the House. And he can, if he chooses to, try to exert pressure on the Bush administration to make policy decisions that are in line with where he wants to go. And certainly yesterday, President Bush seemed to signal his willingness and eagerness to work with Obama in the transition.
Before the news conference, Obama will be huddling with his advisors. Who's going to be in on that?
Well, Vice President-elect Joe Biden will be there along with 17 members of what they're calling the Transition Economic Advisory Board. And these are some heavy hitters. Former Fed Chairman Paul Volcker, two former Treasury Secretaries, Robert Rubin and Larry Summers, will be there, as well as a bunch of corporate CEOs from Xerox, Time Warner, Google. I think all of this is meant to reassure the public and also make sure that Obama and his team of sort of campaign economic advisors are getting input from a wide array of experienced business people and economic leaders and can begin to fashion their response to a pretty serious crisis.
Marketplace's Steve Henn in Washington. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
So unemployment is worse than expected, 6.5% last month. On top of that, Ford will cut another 10% of its North American salaried workforce. The company says its automotive business lost almost $3 billion last quarter. So far, Wall Street seems unfazed. The Dow has already lost 900 points in 2 days, so we're seeing some bargain hunting now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 49 points, or 0.5%. The NASDAQ up 10 points, and the S&P 500 is up 2.5 points. Major European markets are up 1% or so. Asian markets were mixed. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development has a pretty good deal going. Buy a house for a dollar. It's a program to rehabilitate properties where the homeowner defaulted on an FHA loan. And the list of homes for sale is growing. Mitchell Hartman has more from Oregon Public Broadcasting.
HUD has 15% more foreclosed homes on its books now than it did last year. And policy advisor Lori Maggiano says when a property hasn't sold for 6 months, HUD slaps on a $1 price tag.
In the past, we had very few properties that stay on the market for 6 months without being sold. That's changing.
The catch is they can only be sold to local governments for neighborhood rehabilitation.
Either affordable rental housing or homeownership opportunities.
And it turns out they're not all houses.
It's a vacant lot.
That's Jim Johnson, city manager in Vernonia, Oregon.
This particular parcel of land had a mobile home on it, and it was flooded.
Johnson plans to buy the lot to create more open space, but local governments can also get actual houses. There's a four-bedroom ranch house appraised at $150,000 in Tonopah, Arizona, for a dollar, and the list goes on. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Friday, November 7th at Marketplace.org. President-elect Obama has promised to foster a renewable energy revolution in the United States, and foreign companies are listening. Stephen Beard reports from London that British Petroleum is following the winds of change blowing westward over the Atlantic.
BP has dropped its plans to build an onshore wind farm in the UK, and it will not bid for any of the offshore licenses either. The company will now spend billions of dollars on wind energy in the US. By 2010, BP expects to generate enough wind power for more than 1 million American homes. Shell has also switched its wind activity away from Britain to America. It makes perfect business sense, says Mark Nichols of Environmental Finance magazine.
You can develop much larger and more profitable wind farms. There are far fewer planning constraints. The subsidy or the tax support system in the US is more attractive. I think there are simply more opportunities that can be exploited more quickly than in the UK.
And there could be even more opportunities ahead. Barack Obama has promised a 10-year renewable energy plan worth $150 billion. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
At the Treasury Department, the 75-day transition to an Obama administration is getting extra attention because of the ongoing $700 billion bailout of the financial industry. John Dimsdale has that.
When the incoming and outgoing presidents are from different parties, it's customary to keep newcomers at arm's length until Inauguration Day. But at the Treasury Department, Brooklee McLaughlin says Obama's economic team will be welcomed with office space, briefing books, and advance notice of important upcoming decisions.
We're all here very dedicated to making sure that we can provide the information and the support to the incoming team that they're going to need to hit the ground running January 20th.
Transition veteran Scott Lilly at the Center for American Progress says Treasury is setting the gold standard.
Probably greater cooperation at Treasury than anywhere else, but there needs to be because we need to have a seamless policy on this financial crisis going through this interregnum.
Lilly says the Defense Department also has a cooperative transition process, which he says is a good thing since this is the first wartime presidential changeover in a generation. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
European Union leaders meet today in Brussels to prepare for next week's International Summit on the Financial Crisis. The meeting today is at the request of French President Nicolas Sarkozy. We've been seeing a lot of that guy lately, and as John Lawrenson reports, that is no accident.
Nicolas Sarkozy on French television news, flying into Camp David to meet President Bush. France took over the revolving presidency of the European Union this summer. That means it gets to manage relatively dull EU affairs such as institutional reform. It does not mean Nicolas Sarkozy has become president of the EU, a post that doesn't exist. But he's behaving as if, so says Charles Jégu, political reporter with the Figaro newspaper.
His friends actually make fun of him and call him the master of the world, because now he's discovering that he can be not only, you know, the president of France, but someone who representing 26 European countries.
Sarkozy wants European leaders to agree today on how to rebuild capitalism, as he puts it. He wants new rules for the markets, new accounting standards for the banks, limits to traders' bonuses, and, says his biographer Michel Richard, he's bent on getting results.
He is possessed with the idea of action. So during this crisis, the world has discovered what we in France have seen for some time, that not a day goes by without him making some sort of initiative.
And all this activity is going down well with the French public. A year ago, Sarkozy's personal approval scores were right down. The French had had it up to here with his love life. But his ratings are back up again now.
I'm not a Sarkozy fan, but I should say at least he did something, he tried.
I don't vote for him, but I recognize that he gave impulsion, he's moving. That's very important.
Les institutions financières.
A hoarse Sarkozy addressing the European Parliament. The French leader has taken on a punishing workload since the global economic crisis began. But Sarkozy watchers say he might have his own personal crisis come January when France ends its EU presidency and the Frenchman's moment of glory comes to an end. In Paris, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
As President-elect Obama holds his news conference today, there are thousands of election campaign workers wondering what's next for them. From Ohio Public Radio, Karen Kassler reports.
It was the day before the election, and a dozen volunteers manned the phones at John McCain's campaign office in Columbus. Glassworker Rick Datchik took 10 days vacation to help out. He was already contemplating going back to work.
It's going to be an adjustment because there was just so much at stake here.
Later on that evening, at a Jay-Z and Beyonce concert for Barack Obama, campaign volunteer Bill Fullerton said he didn't miss too much at work. He's a realtor.
Well, not much to do.
Datchik and Fullerton are among thousands who left jobs and college, often temporarily, to help out their candidates. Now they pick up where they left off, but it's different for paid staffers. Aaron McClear is press secretary for California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Before that, he worked in Washington at the Republican National Committee after managing George W. Bush's Ohio campaign in 2004. McClear says when Republicans held power, there was no shortage of jobs.
Now, just, 2 years later, it's completely opposite. And so if you are a Republican, it's very difficult to get a job there. There are a lot of Republicans looking for the same few jobs right now.
The day after the election, Columbus workers for Obama packed up boxes and chattered about how to get jobs in D.C. or elsewhere. Aaron Pickerel is going back to the staff of Ohio Governor Ted Strickland after serving as director for Obama's Ohio campaign.
You close down, you celebrate, you rest, you sleep for a couple of weeks, and then you figure out what's next. And a lot of people will go do campaigns. There'll be enormous opportunity for folks to go work in the administration, I think.
But it's hard for the members of the losing team. A spokesman for the McCain campaign in Ohio wrote in an email, "We have no interest in participating in this story." In Columbus, I'm Karen Kassler for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy the day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.